Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, March 28th. This is Chris Anderson with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, joined by Patrick Ryan, our president, and Larry Knuth, vice president, as well as Dan Williams. The old gang is back together. Our guest today is Buck McAlpin. He is a legislative lobbyist with the Minnesota Ambulance Association. Minnesota passed its community paramedic bill in 2011, and it was signed into law by Governor Mark Dayton. Since then, Minnesota has been cutting the path for other states to follow. Buck will be joining us shortly. Just some recent background information for everyone on Wisconsin's bill. Following a public hearing on March 22nd at Wisconsin's state capitol, the Assembly's Committee on Health called an executive session to vote on Assembly Bill 151, which is Wisconsin's community paramedicine bill. The executive session is scheduled for Wednesday, March 29th, starting at 11 a.m. It's in room 328 Northwest at the state capitol, if anyone's interested in attending. The Wisconsin Department of Administration recently released a report detailing the fiscal impact to the Department of Health Services in what it would cost to add an endorsement for community EMT and community paramedic. According to the report, to implement the endorsement, provide training, and maintain the standard of 60 days or less to process new licenses, operational plans, protocols, that kind of thing. DHS says they would require an additional full-time person. So there is a fiscal impact, which obviously we're following closely as this bill progresses. The community paramedicine bill is sponsored by Wisconsin State Representative Amy Loudenbeck. She introduced an amendment to the bill on March 26th. According to Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin President Patrick Ryan, PAW, along with state stakeholders, have worked long and hard to get this important legislation to the point where it is today. We're optimistic about support throughout the state for the establishment of a framework for the development of community paramedic programs across the state. So it is a very exciting time, and we're very pleased to have this as our topic today. Today's program will run approximately 30 minutes and is sponsored by the SAVIC Buying Group. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Since 1997, SAVIC Buying Group has been saving members money through world-class buying power in the public safety sector. Hello, this is SAVIC Executive Director Mickey Schulte. With over 4,500 SAVIC members throughout North America and strong commitments from our vendor partners, we turn this buying power into products and services at the industry's best prices with agreements from Henry Schein, Zoll Medical, Granger, and many other companies. To receive more information or get started today, contact the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin at 414-236-4192 and mention you would like to be a SAVIC member or go online to paw.us/SAVIC, SAVVIK. Best of all, PAW pays your annual SAVIC member fee so you can access millions of products discounted and get real savings absolutely free. Make the call, 414-236-4192, and join SAVIC today.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back. We have, as our guest today, Buck McAlpin from the Minnesota Ambulance Association, and widely considered to be an expert on community paramedic legislation. Welcome, Buck.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you. So, Patrick, what do you think? How should we start our discussion with Buck on community paramedic?
Thanks, Chris, and I'd like to
say welcome to Buck as well. He's been instrumental in really everything we've done in the state. He's taught me everything, about everything I know about community paramedic, which is a little, not a lot. And we're all going to be learning, I think, as we go through the next process. But just, I don't think we could have gotten to this point without his assistance and guidance. And you know, we'll continue to look to Minnesota to help us as we go forward. As we talked, as you introduced there earlier, Chris, we did have the hearing. I was unable to attend it personally, but I did get a report from some of our members that were there. I know Dana Seckler testified. We had some other great individuals from across the state, including community paramedic from Madison Fire, who gave a nice rundown of kind of what they're doing. And from all reports, it sounds like things went well. Lots of good questions that were able to be answered by the folks that were presenting the topic. So I think they, you know, they were able to show their knowledge and vision for how this will work. So the next step is to get it out of the committee. That, as you said, that'll happen tomorrow. We'll have to look and see if we can see that on the Wisconsin Eye. I'm not sure if that would be carried on that or not. But I think, at least from the legislators' standpoint, we were told that it's not something that we necessarily had to be there, but we could come if we wanted to. And then the next step will to get it over to the Senate to go through the same process. But to this point, it sounds like you know, things are on track, and we've done the necessary coalition building to get us to where we're at, so that we can have some unity, you know, and one voice as we go forward and try to get this thing put into law. So with that, Buck, I know you've had your eyes, you know, a little bit on the process here that we've followed here in Wisconsin. Any observations from your perspective that, you know, things we need to still think about, or just maybe your assessment of it to this point?
Yeah, I think maybe talking a little bit about the process is when we get into these scopes or level of care bills or anything where other industries think you're competing in their workforce, that always gets really controversial. And one thing I've liked that Wisconsin's done under Paw's direction and working with the fire chiefs and folks is that tried to put a lot of those fires out as they've went along the process. And I know people get frustrated sometimes when you make sausage at the legislature and how it comes out the other end. But that process is there for a reason, to vet out concerns and get everyone to support the process. And, you know, we had a little different approach, and I think we kind of bowled it through a little bit more here than we maybe even should have in Minnesota in 2011. But we were able to do that with some key legislators and got the program up and going. And I'm pretty positive it'll roll out a lot easier in Wisconsin because Patrick and you folks on the phone and some of the other leaders over there in EMS and Fire EMS have done a nice job working with the Hospital Association and the nurses and the Medical Society to assure that there's buy-in to a bill. Because our first piece of legislation we introduced had 15 letters of opposition, and we had to pull the bill in 2010 after we thought it was a pretty easy subject to take paramedics, train them differently, and then send them out to do well care visits. And we found that wasn't the case of where we got from 2010 to 2017 now. We've done a lot in this realm, and still lots of states haven't enabled us into legislation, so it's nice to see Wisconsin formalizing the terminology of community paramedics and EMTs all at once. That you have the EMT practitioner and the community paramedic all in the one bill makes the process nice, where what we did over a four-year timeline, you're doing in one session here.
So that brings up a couple of thoughts on my part. Yeah, well, that's one of the discussions that went on throughout the whole process was to include community EMT or not. You know, we had some good discussion about that. I think it became clear that we needed something to offer rural legislators so that they could take advantage of this. There was also some further discussion, as Buck alluded to, with scope. I know there was an amendment kind of put forth in the last draft that added language that talked about not allowing the community paramedics to provide services that another practitioner has to have licensure to be able to use. So that seemed to be, you know, reasonable. But I think, you know, we'll still have more discussion will unfold as the process goes further, as we look to make the rule, the rules rather, you know, through the department. So I think, you know, once we do get this to the point where we have, you know, have this passed, you know, that's just one step of the process. Then it's now we need to define it. And, you know, I think as if you followed along, you should be aware that we're all really continuing to want to try to follow that Minnesota model, making sure that that curriculum that is used both in Hennepin Tech and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee that's been taught here, that that's the curriculum that we want to use as the standard for our training. And then we'll have to work and get some collaboration with Minnesota to see how we develop the curriculum for the EMT or the community EMT. So again, just it's all, you know, one step at a time, and we've gotten it to this point. So we feel good about it. Buck, what's new has maybe happened over the last couple of, you know, years that we haven't heard about? How is the process or the delivery model, how has that changed or evolved as you've seen it there in the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, I think stepping back a little bit, and, you know, your comment about community EMT and why, you know, it's nice the timelines run here, is our community EMT curriculum is being approved, I believe, the next week or so at our state EMS board. And as you'll see this roll out the next few years in Wisconsin, there's been dialogues with different groups. The community health workers have came to us, asked us to form an independent oversight group for community paramedics that has more of a medical focus. And what I've noticed is, you know, our state legislatures are both in right now, and let's take a look at Minnesota and Wisconsin as neighboring partners. Minnesota has a $1.65 billion surplus. I believe Wisconsin's isn't quite as rosy. It might be in a deficit a little bit. But still, we're just finishing our health budgets. And the forecasted growth in health and human services in Minnesota is $2 billion without spending another penny on health care. So what I've seen is once we get these bills these practitioners into statute, there's multiple, two I know for sure, called Integrated Health Medicaid Demo Projects, and which the North Memorial paramedics have done really well under financially, and a large Medicaid direct contracting project for our million-something Medicaid patients that specifically list community paramedics in there as a practitioner to deliver care and be reimbursed under new payment models. So no matter how much we like it or not and what's going on federally, I think we'll see quite an opportunity for these new practitioners to be out in our healthcare systems decreasing the spend because they want to use us, but they have to. 60% of health and human services go to the disabled and the elderly. The rest is women and children, single adults without insurance, especially in Minnesota. And Wisconsin's probably similar in numbers. So we have to care for people totally different. And again this year, I've never seen such a drive at our legislature around what can you do different for us, ambulance industry. Community paramedics to start, and then we have us in two different pieces of legislation this year, strictly around payment methodology, because that's kind of the future of how this stuff's going to line up.
So this is probably a loaded question, but on the federal level, you know, things are certainly in flux right now. What impact, if any, does that have us on the short term and maybe on the long term? Probably long term is hard to know because we don't know what's going to happen. But in the short term, any thoughts on how that affects, especially community paramedicine, but also EMS in general, Buck?
Well, Secretary Price just sent a letter out to the new DHS commissioner, the orthopedic doc. I believe it's Colorado he's from. I'm trying to remember his home state. But he sent a very detailed letter and that gave states unbelievable latitude to submit waivers to CMS to do different care models. And I think it's, what did I hear, that the early Medicaid expansion for the 26, 31 states that did that, it's $70 billion every 2 years in the federal budget. Well, that's unsustainable, right? So we know we're going to see a decrease in what we get. Now, Wisconsin wasn't a state that didn't expand. Minnesota did, and we expanded. We put 400,000 more patients on Medicaid. Bad thing is it's Medicaid rates. The good thing is most of those folks were uninsured. So now there's some type of coverage and payment models for them. So I think when we look at what the feds do, even after the repeal of Obamacare didn't work this last week, the feds are still going to have to do things from the CMS level to reform some of the delivery models. And that's why I think the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, or what we do here in Minnesota, our partner in these discussions is the Department of Human Services and the legislators, because if we bring them ideas that do things differently, let's pay us to transfer people to detox. Let's pay us to have community paramedics go to homes of frequent flyers, pay us appropriately, so Larry over at his ambulance service of Paratech can develop a new model of delivery that allows sustainability, but also allows some savings in some of these different population models. And I am positive, because I just saw this first letter, that the feds are going to allow us to go in that direction with some of the care modeling. And that's the stuff our legislature is demanding already from the healthcare system this session. Thinking totally different than we ever have around EMS. And I know we've all sat around the table as peers for years and talked about what that looks like and how that's sustainable. There's a group that continues to fight for Medicare reimbursement in community paramedics, and I'm one that says that's not going to happen, because we don't need that to happen if we align our systems with ACOs and payment models that have the upside over healthcare systems taking risk and direct contracting and everything that goes in play of how we integrate into the healthcare delivery system. EMS has still at times stayed on the outside of that, and we have to be inside those doors talking to the healthcare folks about how we do things differently as partners. Still doesn't matter what your makeup is, if you're hospital-based, for-profit, private, you can still have those conversations as we've had there in Wisconsin, Patrick, and with the folks all around the state as we work to try to get and educate folks about community paramedics or EMTs. And we've looked at the community EMT side here, and why I'm happy to see it in the Wisconsin bill. Lots of these folks don't require the advanced level of training as a community paramedic. The community EMT is a great practitioner, and we're just now talking to some of our large metro fire departments that we found in our data, if someone doesn't show up literally at the same time or a few hours after a discharge to their private residence, there's a pretty high readmission rate. And if we have somebody get there pretty quick, and it can't always be our community paramedics, but maybe it's Minneapolis Fire Engine 14 community EMTs that are two blocks away in North Minneapolis, they can just drive by the house and make sure that Larry got settled in okay and that he understands the list of orders they sent him home. So there's a great role of what we do with them moving forward.
Yeah, this is Patrick. Yeah, I looked at Dane County and Madison, the specific, and what Madison Fire is doing, and that they're working with a couple of hospital foundations on a pilot, and they have been for a couple of years and have had some really nice anecdotal success stories that they've published. But now we've just at Ryan Brothers, we've just now signed a pilot with SSM St. Mary's that we're going to be able to insert our community paramedic into their care transitions team. It's still very early in this process, but we've spent a lot of time and effort to get to the point where we can at least bring this to reality. So we'll be developing that. And I already had some just more, off the cuff comments or discussions with Madison Fire to see, at some point in time, we've got to be able to, cross refer to be able to meet these patients' needs at various different levels, so that we can be as efficient as we can. And there's going to be, they've already done some really great things essentially with connecting people with services and, really looking at those high-touch patients. But I think as we go further and have a multi-tiered approach, so we're really hitting in all the areas, because it's going to be difficult for any one entity to do a comprehensive, large-scale effort early on, because we're all going to be, working to build our programs. But if we can, the more we can collaborate, I think the better we can do for, the entire effort as a, the entire community paramedicine model. I think that's going to just help it move along further and show the great impact that it can have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great point, Patrick. I just want to remind everyone, we do have a lot of live listeners today. If anyone does have a question or wants to speak with us, please just hit one on your phone.
I
can bring you in. But it's definitely a great discussion.
Dan, any perspective from your past state experience that, you know, maybe what we can expect as this process continues to go forward? And then now, you know, assuming we're going to get to the point where, okay, this is, you know, we have legislation passed, now that, you know, now the process with DHS starts. So any observations or thoughts along those lines?
Well, just a couple, Patrick, thanks for asking. You know, I just think that you just have to trust and verify, I guess, through the whole process. Stay on top of it. Make sure that, you know, when you meet with people, that what they said in the meeting happens, or at least comes close to happening. Excuse me. I just think that you just have to stay on top of those kinds of things, because you have a lot of people who dabble their toes in the water now more than when you first started this project. And some of them will understand what's going on. Some of them will have no idea what's going on. So their ideas may be different and actually be contradictory to what you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, I think you almost have to establish somewhat of a watchdog group within the group to make sure that as the process goes along, it doesn't become so distorted that you can't perform the function that you originally wanted to put this all together for. So that would be my only, my highlight from that perspective. And then I guess I'd ask Buck, has there been any changes in the treatment or clinical practice models nationally as this is developing more nationally?
Yeah, good question, Larry. You know, I haven't seen any. I think that there's the mobile integrated health, which we know has been a model that's been kind of separate, where folks haven't wanted to hamstring themselves to the term community paramedic. And that's more of a broad, inclusive of nursing, dispatch, triage, calling in from your home and things like that. But I think that most of it has really stayed along the line of the training that's been required through the Hennepin Tech program. And others have developed their own programs for education. But no, I haven't seen a lot of changes in the scope of practice or what they've defined nationally. Now, there has been a drive to change how we define paramedics and EMTs, and I know folks have followed that. I think that'll be something we probably take on in Minnesota next year, that we get rid of the word emergency medical technician and everyone's kind of a paramedic, and have a critical care paramedic and the actual training around that, and then that they define community paramedic in states that actually allow it in statute. Still one of my pet peeves on my two-second soapbox is you really can't call yourself a community paramedic in my eyes unless your state recognizes the certification. And now with what Wisconsin's doing, you'll be a recognized state. But very few states, they have some pilots and payment language, but nothing around the actual certification or licensure of a community paramedic or EMT.
This is Larry. When Chris did his overview, one of the things he mentioned about the fiscal impact to the state, in your experience, Buck, has that been an issue since yours has been implemented? And secondarily, as we all know, we've had a EMS office that has been decimated from time to time. I can only imagine what that might be in the future if we have another licensure level.
You know, that's a good question, because we were just talking about the fiscal costs. When your finance budget put out a fiscal note for your bill, I believe Chris thought it was like $86,000-ish. That was pretty comparable to community EMT we just did here in Minnesota for that. But also, I've noticed this reluctance of the state government to fund these EMS boards. I was a little disappointed. They just released our budget bills here. They fund all of my what I call our volunteer training dollars and programmatic dollars. When it came to funding some FTE requests at the board, they zeroed them out to zero and zero for from the governor's proposal. So I think that's a really good question, Larry, because we as an industry are kind of forcing the EMS regulatory boards in our state to be an oversight and certification licensure body of these new practitioners. And in the fiscal note, they're probably adding some FTE costs like they did here in Minnesota. But it requires a lot of involvement at the EMS board level, because I can guess if you look around at your advisory committee, there's a lot of great ambulance folks and a lot of great ambulance medical directors. But we've had to push here in Minnesota that we've all talked about this. This is a primary care model, and we get out into the community with it. And we really need to focus from the primary care physicians in this arena and not just our ambulance medical directors. So I think that we have to work as industries to be sure our regulatory oversight groups are funded appropriately to manage both the state safety and public health around community, around the ambulance work we do day to day, and then now how we are as an industry bringing in these new healthcare practitioners.
Excellent points. Thank you, Buzz.
This is Patrick. One final thing, I think, from my perspective, just I maybe touched on it briefly, but just for so everybody is aware that this process that we just went through with the Assembly will then go through to the Senate. So we'll have the bill will be introduced in the Senate. We'll have a hearing. Your committee will take it up, and then they'll go back to the Assembly for current, and then look for the time of when it'll get to the floor, and then actually get voted on and hopefully passed. So there will be more, you know, one more step in the process here, so keep your eyes and ears open for that, and we'll look to get back to the Capitol and make sure this thing gets seen all the way through.
Thank you, Patrick. I know everyone appreciates your updates that you've sent and shared, and the work that you've done. Anyone else have anything to wrap up? All right, well, I know I speak for everyone at PWA when I say thank you to Buck for joining us today. We appreciate your insight. Judging by the large number of listeners that we had today, I can tell this was a good idea and this was a hit. So thank you again. EMS Live is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program was recorded and is available for playback from the PAW homepage at www.paaw.us.
Chris, you did a great Joel presentation today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and play the end of show announcement, and that means it's time to go. So until next time.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.